You know, with the fellowship on the Book of Revelation.
Yeah, with the fellowship on the Book of Revelation. This is a book that sometimes people avoid because they find it's very hard to understand. But I think it's very sovereign of the Lord that he put it in the Bible and put it at the end because he wants us to know. There are definitely a lot of interpretations out there, and people have different ways of viewing it, and because they're afraid to get the interpretation wrong, or they, you know, and we often hear people say nobody knows the day or the hour, so they just avoid any talk about the Lord's return at all, because they just, quote unquote, just want to love Jesus and that's it, right? And live their life. But it is very important that we not ignore it and that we do take the time to understand it, right? The Lord put it there for a reason, not for us to decipher everything, you know. And definitely not everybody will, you know, we don't expect, don't think that, well, because I can't understand every single verse and chapter and the sequence and what everything means, then I won't make it into the kingdom. It's not like that. The reason why it's here is so that we have an awareness and that we prepare. The main thing is that we get ready and we understand what is ahead, what the consequence is of preparing and not preparing, and to understand the goal and the plan of the Lord. You know, I was just reminded of some verses that we enjoy and often the Lord brings back to our memory is in Luke 21. And in this chapter, he talks about many different types of signs. In verse 7, okay, well, we can look at verse 5. I'll just read it to you and you can follow along. It says, "Then as some spoke of the temple," right, we're waiting for the temple, "how it was adorned with beautiful stones and donations," he said, the Lord said, "These things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." So they asked him, saying, "Teacher, but when will these things be? And what sign will there be when these things are about to take place?" You see, anybody who is really, anyone who is desires and longs for the Lord, you will want to know when he's coming back, right? I think we all should have this desire that we want to see him face to face. You know, you can't want to just live your life day by day the same way. You know, just going to work, going to school, and then waiting to retire, and then waiting to old age, and then your life is over. That can't just be what life is about, right? The more that we grow in our relationship with the Lord, the more we want him to come back, the more we want to see him, the more we want his plan to be carried out, right? This should be a natural desire in our heart. And so even the disciples, when he mentioned that these things are going to happen, they asked him, "What are the signs? What are the signs?" Because they want to know. Not because for knowledge, but because they want to prepare, right? If he told, he mentioned that the stones will not be standing upon each other, everything will be destroyed, they said, "What are the signs? We want to know just in case," right? There has to be some indication. And then he mentioned, "Take heed that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' the time has drawn near, therefore do not go after them." So he warns them of what the environment will be as the time gets closer. You'll hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. And then he talks about additional signs, nations rising against nations, earthquakes, famines, pestilence, fearful signs and great signs from heaven, persecutions that come. And then just going down, he talks about more signs about the fall of Jerusalem, which is referring to the time that Titus comes with the Roman in response to the Jewish revolt. The armies of Jerusalem, armies of the Romans really surrounded Jerusalem, broke through the walls and massacred all the people, burned down the temple. And that really did happen. But it says in verse 24, and Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And Jerusalem did not go back into the hands of Israel until 1967. So already there we see signs being fulfilled. He talks about the signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, and so on. And then in verse 27, it says, then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And this is what we're waiting for. Right? But he gives them a warning. In verse 34, he says, take heed to yourselves. And this is the important thing. It's not just enough to watch the signs, but we need to take heed to ourselves. A lot of Christians actually, some Christians don't care about the Lord's coming, but actually many do. We've met people who are waiting and looking for the Lord's coming. But how many are actually taking heed to themselves? And many don't, because they don't realize that there is a reward, that there's a qualification to enter into the kingdom, to receive the reward. And he says it here, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day will come on you unexpectedly. Mm-hmm. Earlier this morning, I heard our brother John sharing about how the Lord wants to show us, but if our hearts are weighed down and we're distracted with drunkenness and carousing and cares of this life, then he will come, but it'll be a total surprise to us. We will be caught off guard. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray. Watch, therefore. So don't say, well, I don't care about the signs. I don't need to look at anything. It doesn't matter to me. I just want to love Jesus. That's good enough for me. We shouldn't have that attitude. This is actually a commandment from the Lord to watch. Pay attention. We have to look. There are so many things happening in the world that we've seen. We need to pay attention. Directly from the Lord, he says, watch therefore and pray always. Pray always for what? Pray that you can what? Have a comfortable life? No, he said, pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass. And all the things that will come to pass we'll get into in the book of Revelation. He goes into much more detail. But it is possible for us to escape all these things that are coming to pass. But if we don't watch and we're not praying for this, how often are we praying, Lord, I want to be a first fruit. I want to be taken before all these things happen. But this should be part of our prayer, to escape all these things that will come to pass. It will come to pass, a guarantee. And to stand before the Son of Man, to stand in front of Him, before Him. We talked about this morning that we're afraid to stand in front of the judge. Yeah, I admit, I will be very scared to stand in front of Him. But we can pray about that. Bring it to the Lord. Lord, I want to be able to stand before You. I don't want to be caught off guard and my heart to be weighed down. And we have to take this warning seriously. I would really, it seems obvious, but the more we read this and get into this, the more we realize that this is indeed written directly to us. Because, you know, people 1,000 years ago, 1,500 years ago, it doesn't really, of course, they need to know it, but it doesn't apply to them as much as it does to us. Right? We are the ones that actually need to watch, because we will very likely see with our own eyes these things that are happening, that it's talking about. So even more, we need to take this word seriously, whether young or old. You know, it doesn't mean we stop everything we're doing and lock ourselves in the room and read the Bible all day, right? We still continue with our responsibilities, but knowing and preparing all the time, getting ready. So it's a very good reminder for us. And it's good to know what's going to happen, not for purposes of interpretation and knowledge, but to give us a sense of urgency and seriousness. And most of all, I think, to fear the Lord, to fear what's going to happen. You know, many times we really don't fear Him enough. You know, if we understand and see what He's going to do to the evil in this world, I don't want to be caught up in it, for sure. So, yeah, let's take the matter seriously.
Yeah, what our brother just shared is a very sober word from the Lord. It's the Lord speaking. Right? At that time, when the Lord was speaking to them, He was talking about the full destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. Right. So actually, it is very real to them. The Lord is not just talking about His second coming 2,000 years later from that time, but the Lord is telling them that a temple which they so appreciated in those days is going to be fully destroyed. Not one stone will be standing on top of the other. And it's going to be fully destroyed. There was already a warning to them. It's going to be 2,000 years later. No, less than 40 years. Prince Titus from Rome came with his army. And on his way to Jerusalem, he even acquired a bigger army, mercenaries. You can imagine what they are going to do to the people, wild people. So what is the difference of the second coming? The second coming is even worse than Prince Titus. It's going to be the beast himself out of the abyss. And not just with an army of Romans. There's demons and army from the abyss coming out. Yeah. How about that? 2 million, for example, right? We'll come to that. 2 million horsemen killing 1/3 of the population of the world. How would you like to be here when it happens, George? Don't say, I don't care, I'm not going to be here. No. So if you would read the Jewish historian Josephus, it was terrible time, horrible time. It was practically hell on earth. And it was just about less than 40 years. In year 70.
Right. Rivers of blood.
Oh, yeah. Many killed, and the rest were taken captive, sold as slaves in Egypt, and the best young people taken to Rome to serve the emperor, the Caesars, to become slaves. How would you like to be part of that? But this is going to happen to us today. That's going to be worse than what happened then. But you know, the Lord already showed them through the prophecy of Daniel. Can you imagine that? That after the Messiah was crucified, cut off, not for himself, and absolutely no justice for him. He didn't do anything wrong, but they crucified him, and he died for our redemption. And then after that, the prince of the people, Titus, will come and destroy Jerusalem and even devastated the whole nation of Israel. Can you imagine? And that is a small picture of what is going to happen when the Lord returns. Right. Josephus said in Jerusalem there were so many crosses that there is not even one space left to put an extra cross to crucify people. You cannot imagine Jerusalem, the city of the temple of God, became a city full of crosses. That's the way the Roman empires at that time. Right. What they did to their enemies. No electric chairs, but crosses. Can you imagine what's going to happen when a beast comes? So there's a warning. The Lord warned them. But if you don't believe, then it's okay. What can the Lord do? Right. So the book of Revelation is a warning to us. It's actually the most important book. The last chapter is always the most important book of whatever you're reading, right? When I read a book, I always want to jump to the last chapter to know what's going to happen. Don't you do that? Right. The book of Revelation tells us at the very end how it is going to be. Right? It's not to scare us, no. But it's also good to be scared, to have the fear of God. If you take a look at what's going on in this world today, what do you expect? No judgment? Yeah, you want to be like some of the cities here in North America, lawless. Right. And Paul even warned us concerning this, the coming of the beast, that lawlessness will increase. And we are seeing that happening today in this country. Right. Even in Canada too, right? Lawlessness is increasing. Yeah. If you do the right thing, you're going to be punished. Right.
if you defend your house, you'll go to jail.
Oh, yeah, you see. Goodness, so what are you going to do? Just give it to them, right?
Let them rob your house.
Let them rob you. Even the police cannot do anything. If the police did something, they will be
in trouble.
It's not the democracy that we knew before. This is why the Lord showed us already in year 2014 that democracy has come to an end. In that year, 2014, which is about 10 years ago, you still don't see it. But today you see it. It's so clear, playing out right in front of our eyes. Right. So you're right, I appreciate your word of warning through Luke chapter 20, one, right? Chapter 24, I'm sorry. 21, yeah. Luke chapter 21. The Lord warns them because the Lord loves them. If you love your children, you'll warn your children about so many things. Unfortunately, the children always think they know better. Right? Right? Alyssa? Jasper? We always think we know better. But nobody knows better than God. Our God is a wonderful God. He knew everything even before the foundation of the world. You may not believe that. Right. But Ephesians chapter 1 says, when did he choose you? When you were born?
No, before the foundation of the world.
How can that be?
He knew us even before we were born.
You believe that? You're chosen before the foundation of the world, David? People will think you're crazy. It's because they don't know God. Before you do anything, right? Even before you, you know, start to do a project, what do you do first? You plan for it. Right, BJ? You're an architect. So before the project comes to your hand, what do you do? Just go ahead and plan as you build?
No. Plan and then build.
Oh, and what does it mean you plan? You mean you prepare everything ahead of time?
Everything.
Everything, really?
Everything. As much as you can, yes.
Oh, yeah. You think God does it differently? Even before he created the whole universe, before the foundation of the world, the earth, he already planned. Don't think God doesn't plan. No, God is a God of purpose. And before the foundation of the world, in year 2020, he already planned BJ is going to be in a church in Fountain Valley. You may not believe it, but it's written in the Bible. Because God is a God that makes plans. His wisdom is infinite. He planned everything. Whatever you are doing, you have to plan first. Right? You plan everything, even making coffee, right? That's why he made the best coffee. You planned. You think our God is not a God who planned. His divine plan and purpose. Chosen us before the foundation of the world in Christ Jesus under sonship. That we will be holy and without blemish before him in love. Right. So God already knew everything. And he gave us this book of Revelation because he wants you to know what's going to happen at the very end. God desire, actually, all men to be saved. He didn't want to see anybody perish. But it's your choice. When he created man, he gave man the freedom to choose. The free will. This is why we have a constitution here. Right? This is a wonderful constitution. That all men were created equal and free. You have the freedom to choose. But Satan wants to make you into a slave. God does not want to make us into a slave. We are free to choose. So make the right choice today. Make the right choice. And in order to make the right choice, you need the Word of God. Because here in this wonderful book, He already gave you the right choice, what you should do. Yeah. So we need to come back to the Word of God. The Word of God is very crucial, the most important book in all universe. It's called the book. The book. We need to love this book. Right? So at the very end in the book of Revelation, let's go to the book of Revelation here. Back. Because it is the very end. So it's very normal that at the very end there is judgment. Because there should always be a result. Right? There's judgment. If you don't care, you just do whatever you like, and don't think there is no judgment. No, God is a righteous God. There's judgment. This is why we need to fear the Lord. If you don't have the fear of the Lord, you can do anything you like. So the last book is actually a book of judgment. It shows that God is righteous, God is holy, and He is a God of glory. Right. So don't think it's okay to do anything. You can do anything you like. Yes, of course you have the freedom. But there's consequences. You have the freedom not just to do anything, but the freedom to do the right thing. People are using freedom to do whatever they like, and it's no good. You'll be destroying everything, right?
Yeah.
So, judgment is a very important word today. Judgment is fully related to righteousness. If you do right, even beginning with Cain, if you do right, well, you'll be fine, right? You're all right. But if you do unrighteously, you'll be judged. You will definitely be judged because God is a God of righteousness. So today He's sitting on the throne and it says His scepter is a scepter of righteousness. But you look at this world today, where is righteousness? It's lawlessness. Everybody is doing what is right in his own eyes. Remember what the Lord told His people before entering into the good land. What did He say? Give them a warning. You shall not what?
At all do as you are doing here today, every man doing what is right in his own eyes.
Okay. Don't do what is right in your own eyes. If you do that, you're lawless. You're lawless. Our God is a righteous God. This word righteousness is shown in the book of Revelation. That's why there's judgment. And today, here in this country, you can do anything you like and nobody can say anything or do anything to you. It's lawlessness. Right? So judgment is an important word. So in the first three chapters of the book of Revelation, judgment begins with the house of God. Always. Always. Because God cares for His house. But a judgment in the house of God is very different than a judgment in the world. judgment in the house of God is because he loves the churches. It is his people, his church, his household. No wonder Peter says judgment begins where? In the house of God. When?
Today.
Better today.
Yes.
Better today. Don't wait until you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That will be horrible. If you wait, you don't care about his judgment today and telling you, stop, stop, Vince, don't do that. But you say, but I like to. Leave me alone. Don't bother me. I want to do this and I want to do that. You think the Lord will stop you? No. Why? Because he gives you the liberty. This is a very precious thing. Why didn't God stop Adam and Eve from eating of the wrong tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? How come God didn't stop them? Tell me. Why? What do you think? George, if you were there, you would stop Adam, right? Try at least. Yeah, you would try at least.
Chop down that tree.
Chop it down. Oh, you think? You would do that. Yeah, you would do that. But why didn't God do it? You must be wiser than God. It shows how great our God is. There's a challenge in this universe between the devil and God. You have to understand something in the Bible. Right? Why didn't God stop you to do a lot of nonsense? Right. Because he gave you the liberty, the free will. You can choose. Moses even said that. I set before you today two ways, life or death. It's your choice.
Blessing or cursing. Blessing or cursing.
Blessing or curse. So what do you choose?
Blessing. Choose life.
You have to choose. Don't blame God, okay? How come you didn't stop me? Don't blame God. God is not going to stop you. He will help you, yes. If you cry out to him, he will help you. He's there immediately to help. If Eve will say, help, the serpent is here, then God could intervene and help. But Eve didn't do that. Eve thought, oh, wow, interesting animal that can even talk to me. So God gave us a choice. Right. And at the very end, there is judgment. So chapters 1 and 3 is a very special judgment. Judgment always starts in the house of God. I have a verse here for everybody. If we go to Proverbs chapter 11. Yeah. Verse 31, for example, yeah. And it's quoted, actually, right, in the New Testament. If the righteous will be recompensed on the earth, how much more the ungodly and sinners? Peter said the same thing. If judgment begins in the house of God, and we are scarcely saved, because we don't care. We do a lot of things offending God and didn't care. How much more will it be with sinners, the unbelievers, facing the judgment? So judgment will always begin with us because God loves you. So children, don't be angry when the parents say something to you. Don't say, oh, you don't love me. No, no, it's exactly the opposite. It's because your parents love you that they speak seriously to you. Right? Wouldn't you do that? Or you just say, you always let your children do whatever they like.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Judgment begins in the house of God. Jeremiah said the same thing. Isaiah said the same thing. It's because God cares for His people. It'll be terrible if the parents don't care what the children are doing. Would you do that? No. So, judgment begins in the house of God. This is normal. And this is what happened right here in the book of Revelation. Judgment. But it's a different kind of judgment than the judgment in the world. And for the judgment, who did the Lord send to help us? A great heavenly high priest. This is why we have a high priest who takes care of the golden lampstands. And what comes to your mind concerning the matter of the high priest?
Eyes like a flame of fire.
But the first thing that comes to your mind that we have a great high priest is that we are a priesthood.
Yes.
The Lord desires His church to be a priesthood, a kingdom of priests. Righteous as He is, pure as He is, perfect as He is perfect, holy as He is holy. The priesthood, a kingdom of priests. This is why in Revelation chapter 1, why did He save you? So that you will not go to the lake of fire.
No.
Why?
Kings and priests to our God.
To make us kings and priests to our God.
Mm-hmm.
So, many of the Christians know Christ as the Redeemer. But we today, as the priesthood, should know Christ as our great heavenly high priest. You need to appreciate Him as the high priest. Today, everybody's remembering the child that was born in a manger. You remember where you were born? You did?
No, I don't remember.
Is it necessary to remember?
No.
No more. But today, our Lord is sitting on the throne. And He is with us, not only as our Savior, also, of course, but as our great heavenly High Priest. He's helping us, not to save us from eternal damnation, but He's there to perfect us.
Mm-hmm.
It's very different than a Savior who died for us. But no, He is a priest according to the order of Melchizedek, King of Righteousness and King of Peace. If you look at God's people today, no righteousness and no peace. Quarreling, unruly, divisive, doing so many things against the Lord. But this one is walking in the midst of the golden lampstands. Now, where do you think the lampstands are standing? Outside there in the outer court? In Egypt? No. In the holy place. That shows the whole priesthood. This is a priestly service. The whole church today, according to the book of Revelation, is the priesthood. Otherwise, we don't need a great high priest. We need a pastor, not a great high priest. But if we are a priesthood, then we do need a great high priest walking in the midst, right, to make all the churches the golden shining lampstands. If some people ask you, Vince, where do you go to church?
I'm learning to say the heavenly Mount Zion.
And what does it look like? The shining golden lampstand.
Yeah.
This is what a church should be. Because if you just say, we had a church, you had a church in Fountain Valley, yeah? We had a church in Toronto. It's very easy to say that. Church in New York City.
Yeah.
But is it a golden lampstand? With fresh oil every day? And how much gold do we have? We have a lot of teachings and doctrines and silly things sometimes. But what about gold? Yeah. How much gold? You know how much money you have. But the Lord will not ask you, Vince, how much do you have in your account? The Lord will ask us in every church, how much gold, how much substance, His divine nature do we have? Well, what can we say? What can we say? Right. To gain Christ is to gain gold. That's why the Lord told the church in Laodicea, come to me and learn teaching.
To buy for me gold.
Buy.
In the fire.
Is the Lord just going to give it to you? Oh, it's by grace. Gold. You have to pay your right, refined through fire. Pure gold. How much do we have? Have you asked that question? We always ask, do you know the Bible? Do you understand the Bible? You may understand the Bible, but that doesn't mean you have much gold. Some people even call their Bible the gold bar. Oh, that's very cheap. Right, my daughter just bought a Bible. How much? $25. Oh, you bought a gold bar for $25. Cheap. It must be fool's gold. Now you need to pay the price. At least according to Revelation chapter 3, you need to pay the price. Otherwise, you won't have gold. So, may the Lord have mercy on us. The church right here in the book of Revelation should be a golden lampstand. A shining one. A lampstand is a lampstand that gives light to shine forth Christ and God, the glory of God, the light. Light is a big thing. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. When people see us, do they see light? Of course, not everybody will see the light. The Lord was the light of the world, but people are blind, having eyes and see not, having ears and hear not. But a church must be a golden, shining lampstand, giving light. Because that's the purpose of light. We are not children of the night. We are children of the day. We are sons of light, not sons of darkness. So it's not just having meeting and good fellowship. It is, the question is, are we shining? Are we shining? Today and tonight, right here in the meeting hall, we see everything. Why? Because of the light. The light is important. In John chapter 1, immediately, right, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of man, and the light must shine in the darkness. Right. No darkness in the church, in Zion. Yeah. It's not good just to know the word Zion. Yes, in chapter 14, we're standing with you in Mount Zion. But in chapter 1 to 3, you have to see the golden lampstands to gain the divine nature of God. This is why the priesthood is very, very crucial. Look, we Christians have been listening to messages week after week. Do we gain gold? Right. We went through a lot of training before, right? How much gold do we gain? Excuse me. Right. So to gain the gold is important. From now on, before the Lord comes back, we need to gain the gold. Amen. Refine through fire. Please, learn this. It's not just doctrine. We need to gain gold. Okay. Be conscious of that. And to gain gold, you need to gain oil. The golden lampstands, they don't have a big tank like your car. How much gasoline can your car take? How many gallons?
15 gallons.
Only 15 gallons. Yes. Okay, so you can run a car for how long? 1 month, maybe? 4 weeks?
No.
It depends on how often you drive, right? Okay, if you drive every day, maybe 2 or 3 weeks, huh? 2 weeks, you have to fill up your car again.
Probably a week and a half.
Oh, you must be driving a lot. What about the lampstand? Each lamp has only a little cup. There is enough oil for one day. That is why the high priest must daily fill up the oil. And that is if it is burning. Of course it is burning. Otherwise there won't be any light in the holy place. Oh, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you, bro. Right? So, don't think you need a filling of the oil once every week. That's not enough.
So
Sunday morning.
Sunday morning. Sunday morning. Oh, okay, Sunday morning. But are you sure you're getting oil Sunday morning? It's daily to be filled. You know, if you read a book of Acts, the most impressive thing is every time they're doing something for the Lord, they are filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not just once for all. It's not once a week. Once a month. No. Daily. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Did you ask the Lord today, Lord, fill me with the golden oil before you go to work? James, before you go to university, you should say, Lord, here I am, come. You're a great high priest. Fill me with the golden oil. Remember Zechariah chapter 4? Right. So may the Lord open our eyes to see the church from a different angle. We are satisfied if we have a nice meeting and everybody brings some kind of offering to the Father and that's it, and go home for 2 hours. And that's it. No, that's not it. The lampstand is shining everywhere, all the time. So, may the Lord help us to see. He is such a great high priest walking in the midst. Not just a Savior to forgive us. Not just the precious blood to cleanse us. But the oil, the golden oil to fill us. Amen. To be filled with the Holy Spirit. At home, at work, at the university, wherever you are, you're the light of the world. But light without oil, can it be? Right? So, may the Lord have mercy on us to show us that today we are the golden shining lampstand. Otherwise, the great high priest have no job. Then what is he going to do? And even to prepare the showbread and the golden table. Everything in the holy place is golden. And what about the incense altar? It's made of wood.
Golden incense
altar. It's a golden incense altar. Everything is golden. Even the panel, the wood, is also covered with gold. Amazing how much gold we have. Right now, ask the Lord, okay, how much heavenly gold do we have? Right. If I ask you, how much do you have in your account? Oh yeah, you say approximately how much. But if the Lord asks us today, how much gold do we have? I don't think any one of us could answer that. How about, how much gold did you gain from the Lord? Right. This is the vision here. Let's go back to the outline here. Don't be afraid of God's judgment today, because His judgment is salvation to us. If you wait until that day before the judgment seat of Christ, you have no chance to repent then. At that time, it's too late. But today, it's not too late. It's just like what Hebrews 12 says. God, because he loves us, he chastens us. And even in the last church, the church in Laodicea, the Lord say very clearly, whom I love, I chasten. So the judgment here by the great heavenly high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, he is serving us with what kind of life? Hebrews chapter 7 says what? With indestructible life. Without beginning, without end, without father, without mother, it's uncreated. It is the divine life. He's serving us with such a wonderful life, and you don't appreciate it. And many times you and I, we don't appreciate. It's a very special kind of service. And this is the oil that he is adding to you in your daily living. I need it. Don't say, well, yesterday I did fine, and today, I don't know. Well, you need to be filled again. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. You're not a tank. You're just a little vessel there. Can you drink just 1 gallon of water all at once?
No.
Oh, you better not. Right? You'll get drowned.
Yeah.
You'll be drowning yourself.
Yeah.
No. But you drink more each day, right? With the living water of life.
Amen.
So, this is the way this wonderful great high priest preparing the showbread, preparing the oil for the golden lampstands, preparing the incense for the golden incense altar to add to our prayer. So the priesthood is a very special service. I don't understand why a lot of people are against it. They don't like it. They think it's too bothersome. They're not used to it. Right. But it is a privilege because this is what the Bible tells us. He wants to make us a kingdom of priests. King and priests unto God. And we need not just a redeemer, we need a great heavenly high priest. And he is also our king. Right. May the Lord open our eyes to see. And don't think the Lord will not judge us. Look at the 7 churches. The Lord expose what displeases him. When the Lord speaks to you, is it more a rebuking or is it more a praising? What do you think? Sophia?
Rebuking.
Right. But look, what a great high priest said to the churches, I have something against you. Right. And you're doing this, which I hate. The Lord told the churches what he hates. Yeah. And you tolerate Jezebel. And you have a name that you're alive, but you are
dead.
He didn't say half dead. He says, you're dead. Is there any such thing as a half-dead?
No.
Either you're dead or you're alive. So are you dead or alive?
Life support.
No, we don't have to be dead. Because we have the power of his resurrection. He had made us alive. Raised up with him together. Even seated with him in the heavenlies. Is it a doctrine? Or do you desire to experience that?
Amen.
Yeah? It shouldn't be a doctrine to you. If it is written, then I want to experience it.
Amen.
Otherwise, why should it be written there? It's for our experience. Right. And the Lord revealed so much concerning himself, more than just the crucified one on a cross. He's everything. Alpha and Omega. The beginning and the end. The first and the last. The author and the finisher. He's the root and the offspring of David. So if he is he a son of David, or is he the root of David?
Both.
No wonder David in spirit called him Lord. That's why the Lord trapped the scribes and the Pharisees. If you say he's the son of David, how come David in spirit called him Lord? Do you call Emmanuel Lord? Of course not, right? No. But our Lord is wonderful. Right. He is just wonderful. The Lord revealed himself in a very special way at the very end of the Bible. To let you know. He wants us to know him. Not just as a savior, no. Not just as a life in general, well, he is my life. Okay, how come you live in the flesh? You're still in the flesh if he's your life. Right. So, we need to wake up.
Amen.
This is a wake-up call, so to speak. Amen. The book of Revelation is not to give us more doctrine. He is the firstborn from the dead. What does it mean to you? That means he rose first? Is that what it means? Right. So, we all need to see we are partakers of his resurrection. We are risen with Christ. That's why when we were talking about baptism, why do we need to be baptized? People are asking. Is it necessary? Well, Romans chapter 6 told us you're baptized into the water. Did he say that? Into Christ. As many as were baptized into Christ. And specifically into his death. Only that. Then you remain in the water. Oh, you came up again. Well, why did you come out of the water again? Just stay there. Risen together with him. You're united with him in his death and also in the likeness of his resurrection so that you can walk in the newness of life. Isn't that important? Or is it not important? But you don't need to be baptized, just believe. No. Right. This is the reality. It's not just a formality. It's a reality. The reality of being crucified with Christ. Well, how can Paul then in Galatians chapter 2 says, I have been crucified. Oh, when did that happen? If you ask Paul, when were you crucified with him? Through baptism. risen with him? When? When you came out of the water. Every step of our Christian life is very important. It's very, very meaningful. Right? So we do need this great heavenly high priest. A great heavenly high priest. The goal is to gain the golden lampstands, the kingdom of priests. That is the goal, not going to heaven. Of course, you will be raptured to the heaven, but only for a short period of time. Right, to be trained as the army to come down with him to fight the battle of Armageddon. Yeah? Are you drafted? Yeah, praise the Lord. Right. So, the very purpose is in the judgment of the Lord is to cause us to repent. You can read all those epistles yourself. We're not here for a teaching and knowledge because you already know. Right. But to repent. To every church, the Lord says, he who overcomes, and to him who repent. You repent. What does repentance mean? Oh, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. So, is that repentance? The Greek word for repentance means a change of your mind. It's metanoia. You know the word meta. The prefix means a change, like metamorphosis, the change of form. And to repent means change your mind. Because whatever you do, you need to have the mindset. If you don't have the mindset, you won't do it. So repentance is not just, okay, I'm sorry. And that's it. That doesn't mean repentance. If there is no change of mind and change of your ways, you don't have make a U-turn, then you're not repenting. No. If there is no change, that means there is no repentance. Repent. Don't just say, Lord, I take the blood, forgive me, sorry, and that's it. Then go ahead and do it again. How about that? That's not repentance, that's a repetition. You're not repenting, you're repeating. So to repent requires a change, especially the change of your mind. Lord, I am not going to repeat. I'm not going to do it again. I want to change. I don't want to be the same. I don't want to do it again. If you're going in the wrong way, what do? You turn. Right? Can your car turn? Yeah. Okay, I'm glad. But it depends on the driver, okay? Yeah. Right. So here it says, the urgent need today for each one of us to hear, to understand, because if you don't understand, you're not hearing. Right. To hear means to understand. To apprehend. And if you understand, then you must change. Don't say, I know, and then you go ahead and do the same thing. That happens too often, right? Yeah. So, to hear, to understand, to change and to overcome. All these four words, or three words, at least four words, must be joined together. Don't just hear and forget about it. Hear and understand. But then you have to repent, to change. And then you have to overcome. Praise the Lord. All these words are very important. It's what the Lord wants us to do, what the churches should be doing today. Practice this. If not, then there is definitely a judgment. If the Lord expose whatever is still in our heart, it may be difficult because of the flesh. But on the other hand, we have a great high priest there to help you, to supply your very need, to strengthen your inner man. But then you need to exercise your will. This is why God has not given us the spirit of cowardice, giving up. I cannot, I can't, I'm unable. It's not you're unable, you're unwilling. So God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power for the will. Spirit of love, to love the Lord in our heart. And the spirit of a sound mind, to understand and change. If you don't change your mindset, you're not changing. You will continue to do what you're doing. You don't change. This is what this first three chapters is telling us to do. It's not that we are perfect right away. No, no, none of the churches there are really perfect. Yeah, some are better, some are worse, right? But the urgent need is to repent and to overcome. Are we willing? We still have little time left to do it. If you don't want to do it, it's okay. Nobody's going to force you. But remember the last point here in this first point, Roman numeral 1, is there are consequences. Remember, there are consequences. Matthew chapter 25, everybody knows. They're all, what, virgins. That means they're all saved, born again. They all have oil in their lamps, but it's not enough. No oil in their vessels. It's a warning to us. It's a warning. There are consequences, and heavy consequences. I don't have to mention those consequences, but you all know it. Right? I think we'll stop here. That's good enough. But go home and meditate on this point. Deal with the Lord. Learn to talk to Him. Open a word. Tell the Lord, I want to change. Take the warning of the Lord seriously because the time is near. Right? This morning you have seen something, right? What's going to happen? After the inauguration, you're going to see a lot of things happening. Right. So, may the Lord have mercy on us. Amen. May the Lord have mercy.
Amen.
Right. We have these two coins here. John brought it for everybody to see. This is the most recent two coins. And you can take a look. This one shows us concerning the assassination attempt. Okay? You can even see the bullet there, and blood in the right ear, and Trump still say, fight!
Fight, fight.
In spite of everything. So, amazing they would put this up here. Right? It has specific meaning. I don't need to say what it means, okay? Right? But it says here, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. It's wonderful. Right? So, you can all take a look. Yep. After the meeting, you're all free to come and take a look. And then you have the latest one that came out. These two are the latest one. It's Trump and Netanyahu together. It's amazing. It says, war of the sons of light against the sons of darkness. Netanyahu representing Israel, and Trump representing the U.S. Right? These two are a pair. Very meaningful. Very, very meaningful. Almost prophetic. Yeah. That shows how much our president today here in the U.S. is related to Israel. If you're not convinced, you can see it. You can see the real thing. Yeah. Don't think they did it just for fun.
Definitely not.
They're serious about it. This is how they really felt about it, in their heart. But the most wonderful thing is that it is prophetic. It fulfills the word of God.
Amen.
And remember, the last week, it's all about the Jews and about Jerusalem and about God's plan. Okay? For that purpose, let us read again King Cyrus before we stop the meeting. Let us read Isaiah chapter 44. Did we read that? Yesterday?
No.
This morning, I mean?
No.
No, huh? Okay, let us go. I'm sorry. Yeah. To Isaiah chapter 44. Yeah. I think that will... Verse 28, the last verse. Okay? God, who sends out Cyrus, he is my shepherd. And he shall perform all my pleasure. What is that? What is God's pleasure?
Saying to Jerusalem, you shall be built.
And to the temple,
your foundation shall be laid.
Praise the Lord. This is why God raised up King Cyrus. Not just to start the Persian kingdom. No, that's just a sideline, okay. That is not the most important job of King Cyrus. This is the most important job for King Cyrus, as well as for today's Cyrus. The modern day Cyrus. Right. Praise the Lord. Saying to Jerusalem, you shall be built, and to the temple, your foundation shall be laid. Expect to see that happen after the inauguration, at least soon after the inauguration. And if that happens, you know. not only near, it's at the door.
Yes.
It's at the door. Okay? Praise the Lord. Let's have some prayer.
Yeah. Amen.